Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the studios of KSFR, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to the wonderful Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Now, today we're continuing in the third week of our opera series, and Desiree Mays is here to join us. She's an international lecturer. She's the author of Opera Unveiled, now in its 13th year. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hello, Mary Charlotte. We're going to have fun today.
We are indeed, because there's two things happening. One is we are talking about the opera The Last Savage, and every year there's a more contemporary opera, usually 20th century opera, and that's The Last Savage by Giancarlo Menotti. And we are also talking about the KSFR Fun Drive, which is in its first day today, at least first day here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. So before we start talking about the opera, we want to let people know that they can call 505-428-1393 and make that donation. We have to support our station through listener-supported contributions. Listener-supported means you pick up the phone and give us a call, 428-1393. Now, we're going to make it sweet for you, and you may want to wait or you may want to call right now, but we have three and only three pairs of tickets to The Last Savage, which we are going to give away to anybody who makes a contribution of $300 or more during this program and only this program. So if you want to hear, if you want to go see and hear The Last Savage at the opera, there's six performances of it starting on the, I believe it's the 25th of July. Yes, the 25th of July. And
23rd of July, actually, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll figure all that out.
And well, you have a choice. I mean, you can go on the 23rd, 27th, and there's four performances in August, and the opera's sung in English. It's a fun piece. We'll talk about it.
Well, and we'll talk about that. So you may want to call in now and score the pair of tickets, or you may want to wait until you hear just a little bit of music from the opera. We're also giving away copies of Desiree's book, Opera Unveiled, which is a slim, wonderful volume, which has five chapters, one corresponding to each of the operas that's being performed this summer at the Santa Fe Opera. And so for those of you who are going to the opera and want to know what it's about beforehand and know a little bit about the history and so on, you can not only listen to the show, but also actually get the book and go into a little bit more depth. So for a contribution of $50, you can call 428-1393 in the 505 area code. There's also a toll-free number, which is 1-866-907-5737, 866-907-5737. So let's get the phones ringing right now. Support the Radio Cafe. Support the arts here
Absolutely.
In New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. And any kind, way, shape, or form. There's all sorts of wonderful arts that are offered in New Mexico. I recently did a series on the creative process, and I did not have to go beyond New Mexico to find the most incredible people to speak to. So they are here. Mary Charlotte interviews many of them. I must say, my morning start every day with three things, actually.
Breakfast.
First of all, not breakfast. We get the birds on the other station. And then we switch over immediately to the BBC News. I don't know if people realize the value of hearing these incredible newscasts that run from 7 to 8 every morning on KSFR. This is an extraordinary gift, and you don't have to sit through commercials. There are none. You get the news both from the BBC and from our award-winning KSFR news team. So that all happens between 7 and 8. And then at about 10 past 8, Mary Charlotte shows up with Radio Cafe interviewing all these wonderful people. That's a rich way to start the day. In fact, my days very invariably do not get started until 9 o'clock, which is very frustrating because I have to hear the news and Radio Cafe. So these are two sort of jewels in the crown of KSFR that I think we somewhat take for granted. I must say, when it comes time for me to write a check to KSFR, you know, I've been listening to this every day for 360, however a lot of it runs, Monday through Friday typically. But I listen to the weekends too. Laurel comes on with the folk remedy, which is great. And then I hear Interfaith Voices. There's another amazing program. The scope and the variety of programs on this radio station are quite amazing. There truly is something for everyone. And even if you're listening to one program and then a few later minutes when the program ends, you think, oh, I listen to something else now, or I'll turn off, or I'll do whatever, you invariably get drawn in. I have found that on many occasions because of the great producers that you have here. And I don't know if people know that the most of the producers, what, 95% of the producers on this radio show are volunteers.
Virtually all of them.
Yeah, virtually all. I mean, that's quite extraordinary.
I'm on every day, so I'm a staff member at KSFR, but almost everybody else is a volunteer. Our news team and the Journey Home Diego Mulligan are staff members. But basically, it's a community-run community radio station. And if you like the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, and we cover not only the arts, we cover
everything.
Politics, the environment, a little bit of everything, dogs, animals.
Science, the humanities.
Science,
especially
exactly.
Dogs, animals. Those are great shows.
My own personal bias shows through when it comes to dogs.
And Friday, you talk with Pasatiempo about what's going on in this town. That's where I get my news from what's happening next week. So it's great. But I don't think people realize actually the extent to which this station is volunteer run. There are professionals here, of course, such as Mary Charlotte, on staff, but it's a very small staff. So your money, when it does come in, it keeps this program going from an electronic production standpoint.
428-1393, 428-1393. And we're going to talk now about The Last Savage, which is the opera by Giancarlo Menotti. That's my Italian accent for
very
what
good.
It's worth.
He was an American-Italian. That's fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He actually went to the Curtis School of Music in New York, born in Italy. And his music is Italian opera, but it's seen through the prism of an American style. So Menotti is very light. This opera is a comedy. It's funny. There's no tragic death at the end. It's very accessible. It's actually a bit of a parody. When Menotti composed this piece in the 1960s, he was having a little dig at our American way of life here. And it's fun. It's interesting that now we're looking back. In 1960 is 50 years ago. That's a long time. But many of us lived through it. So you can look back and you can see the parody. It makes much more sense now as you see it in retrospect, and it's fun. So it's a great piece. Can we get into some of the music, Mary Charlotte?
Yeah, let's talk about let's set up the plot of the piece a little bit. Once again,
sure.
It's 428-1393. And so once you start hearing about it and you want that pair of tickets, I think they might go quickly. 428-1393. And you can get that pair of tickets. There's three that we have total to Giancarlo Menotti's The Last Savage at the Santa Fe Opera. So this, I haven't obviously seen it because it's a new opera, and it's not, there's not a recording that is available to the public yet.
No. This was first presented in the States in 1963 at the Met, and the Met really believed in it. They pulled out all the stops and gave it an extraordinarily wonderful cast with Roberta Peters, Teresa Stratus, George London. I mean, a great cast, and it did well. But as time went on through the 60s, through the end of the century, it was Menotti's other operas that got bigger play for whatever reason. And now this is coming back, and maybe in part because it is this wonderful look back, so slightly tongue-in-cheek, with a great sense of humor about what goes on in this country. But the story is, believe it or not, about the abominable snowman. I mean, that's so crazy. When I heard that, this is ridiculous. Opera has its ridiculous moments. But it also for me is very enriching because I have to study all sorts of things when I present an opera.
Well, some of those Baroque operas have frog people in them.
Exactly,
like that.
Exactly. So here I am studying frogs and abominable snowmen. So it turns out that in the 1920s, this is where people would see yetis and abominable snowmen up in the Himalayas. And this is the kickoff idea for this opera. When the opera was written, you know, the existence of a mythic super beast in the Himalayas was still an intriguing possibility. And to this day, you can find articles on Google that says, yes, he's out there. No one has ever seen him. So anyway, this is the idea. And the opera opens in the home of a Maharaja, Rajaputana, near the Himalayas. And he is meeting with an American business tycoon, Mr. Scattergood. And the two of them are comparing notes. They're super wealthy, but they're a bit concerned that their wealth may not grow. So they decide that they will have their children marry Kitty, Scattergood's daughter, and Kodanda, who is the son of the Maharaja. Well, this idea sounds good until the two kids are involved, and they said, no way. You know, the Kodanda says, I don't want to marry this American girl. Why should I? I'm not going to do as I'm told.
So much for the arranged marriage.
And then she arrives and she says, no way either. So I've come to the Himalayas to find the last savage. I'm working on my degree in anthropology, and I am going to find the last savage and bring him back to America and show him off. So this is the sort of the thesis for the plot. And then when the kids leave the scene, the Maharaja and his wife and Scattergood get together and think, what are we going to do? And the Maharani says, you know, there is no last savage, but we'll invent one. We'll string her along here. So they enlist one of the servants in the palace, Abdul, who is this gorgeous hunk, this sort of Tarzan type. And he says, I can't do this. I'm a stable boy. I don't know how to act, implying I don't know how to sing, which is sort of nice little irony in this opera. Anyway, he's told that he has to go off into the jungle and pretend to be a native, and she will find him, and all will be well. So I thought, as a first piece, we might hear a little bit of that, where Abdul is being interviewed by the Maharaja. Would you like to make some money in a hurry? Yes, says Abdul. And he is told, all right, then, all you have to do is play the part of a wild man in the jungle. A wild man, he says. And everyone, his girlfriend, who realizes there might be money attached to this deal, says, of course he could do it. He's going to do it. So you'll hear. It's a wonderful piece of dialogue. It's all in English. So let's open with that first interview of the Maharaja with Abdul, the servant who is going to become this last savage, and Saudula, his girlfriend, who's pushing the deal forward.
Your name, Abdul. Abdul, would you like to make some money in a hurry?
Oh, yes.
All right, then. All you have to do is to play the part of a wild man in the jungle.
Of a wild man? Me, sir.
Don't say no.
As a matter of fact, sir, I do not know how to act.
Now go, I will show you what to do.
I did not know that there could be a fellow so naive as he.
You see, you just rely on me.
You see, it's easy as can be. I really am not able. I was brought up in a stable.
You are perfect.
You can do it.
You're exactly so
different. In the middle of the direction, you can do it to perfection.
I would look like a fool. I have never been to school.
He's just a simple country hick. He's just a man to do the trick.
You see, you just rely on me.
You see, it's easy as can be. You see, it's easy as can be.
As a prehistoric caveman, you don't need an education. With a little preparation, you'll understand the situation. Do not cut your hair or whiskers. You're a creature of the jungle. You have never learned to speak. Your intelligence is fleeting. At first you are ferocious, then be timid and surprised. If you have to go someplace, you'll make your secret surprise. As they do in Hollywood, bravo. What could be simpler? As they do in Hollywood. At first we live in the jungle, then we let yourself be captured by a lady from Chicago. Then we come and take your picture, then we show you to the public.
In a week or two, maybe three, we will set you free with a large compensation. This American over here will gladly pay your fee.
And we're listening to music from The Last Savage, which is an opera by Giancarlo Menotti. And we are in the KSFR Fun Drive, and so we're giving away tickets to this 505-428-1393. Only three pairs available, 428-1393, and only during this hour. Now, Desiree, it sounds almost like a musical, really, compared to
it does,
an
yes.
opera.
It's a fine line, you know, what is a musical and what is operetta or light opera, opera comique, sort of the technical terms. The technical definition is that if a work is sung from beginning to end, it's an opera. If there's any dialogue in it, it's a musical.
If they speak at all, it's
if
a musical.
If they're speaking, right.
There have been some exceptions to that on the stage of the Santa Fe Opera, which we've witnessed.
Absolutely. Like Les Miserables, there's a lot of dialogue, but that's now being treated as an opera. As is Porgy and Bess. So these are what we call crossover pieces, if you like, that appear both on the Broadway musical stage as well as in the opera house.
I think one definition could be if you can understand what they're saying, it's a musical.
Well, that's true, too. Though that language thing is very difficult. You know, I believe firmly that if it's an Italian opera, it should be sung in Italian.
Listen, there's English operas when we've had several of them on the stage at the Santa Fe Opera. I couldn't understand a word of the English.
You still need the titles.
And this one you can.
This one, well, yes. I mean, we'll see in the house if you can. It's a real test because for the singers, the sound of those words may not be exactly how they can enunciate them when they're singing a high C.
Right.
You know, this is part of the problem. So you still need to know the story and use those titles. It really helps. And I think if you're struggling to understand the words word for word, you're doing sort of an intellectual exercise. You're missing the magic of the music. So if you know the story, you'll get it. You don't have to follow all of the words. So.
And if you know the story, that means perhaps you've read Desiree's book,
yeah,
Opera Unveiled.
Absolutely.
which you can get for making a contribution to KSFR right now. 505-428-1393. You can get a copy of the book and prepare for the opera and make a contribution to KSFR at the same time. And it's great fun. There was a quotation in the book from Menotti about the arts, which I was hoping you could read.
Yeah, Menotti was criticized somewhat in the years that he was composing, that he did not compose in the avant-garde style of Schoenberg and 12-tone music. He doesn't. He believes in melody. He's a true Italian. But he was a little bit concerned about the state of opera in this country, in the States, and he said, "The artist in general has always been on the margin of society. We are supposed to entertain people rather than be part of their daily life." Now, this is not true in Italy. In Italy, it's really part of their life. He says that here in the States, we are the after-dinner mint rather than being the bread of society. I feel the serious artist has to find a more creative place in modern society. And that's actually why he founded the Spoleto Festival first in Italy and then in Charleston in this country. But I think that's a wonderful quote. You know, the opera may be seen as being on the fringes of the visual arts rather than being the bread. But I promise you, when you go to an opera and it really touches you, means something to you, it becomes the bread. It's a magical transition. But it is a perception that many people have.
I think it's one of the things that here on public radio we are looking to transform or think about or make part of the dialogue, which is the arts that are represented in public radio. And here it's mostly the audio arts because we can't show pictures on the radio. But music becomes part of your soul in the way that when you – I always use the metaphor of nourishment because when you eat – it becomes part of your body. And when you eat nourishing food, you know, the bread as opposed to the after-dinner mint.
Right, right.
You know, the bread and the vegetables and the meat and the
and the glass of wine.
And the glass and the whole thing, which is very nutritious, it transforms who you are. You become
a
different person, perhaps a more empathetic person, perhaps a more joyful person, perhaps a deeper person through the arts. And it's not sort of decorative stuff on the side. It is who we are.
It is, and I think that's why this station is so great, because you cover the full spectrum of music. It's not classical or opera. It's jazz, it's blues, it's folk, it's everything. And I really believe that...
Musica Latina.
Musica Latina, absolutely. I think the more that we open ourselves up to listening to different types of music, we make all sorts of discoveries. And life is richer, as you say. There's no question. If you just listen to one piece of music, one type of music all the time, that can be narrow. I mean, people don't believe it when I tell them that. When I'm driving those endless hours through this incredible state and that fabulous scenery, I'm either listening to Wagner full blast, or I'm listening to country and western. You know, both work. I mean, right. It's really great. I'm probably an exception, but this station will do that. And really, this is the only station, public radio, because we play what people want to hear here, and that's really tremendous.
505-428-1393, 428-1393, and score a pair of tickets to The Last Savage by Giancarlo Menotti at the Santa Fe Opera. And there's a bunch of performances of it, and the great thing is that you can get tickets to any one of those performances. We'll give you, the winners of these tickets will get instructions on how you reserve your tickets. But basically, you've
probably
got your full choice.
Once you've got the tickets and made the donation, you should probably call and reserve your seats. These are the best seats in the house, by the way.
Yeah, we're giving very good seats. That's why we're asking for $300, because they are tickets that are worth in the hundreds of dollars. So.
That's right. And there was a nice little package you suggested. We could tie the two in together for
$325. You can get the book and the pair of opera tickets.
So go for the whole thing.
505-428-1393. Now let's go back to The Last Savage. You've got, what's the next piece
what
that
happens
we're
next?
Yeah,
this is a lovely aria by Kitty. Kitty, who is this young, eager, very American girl who sort of mazes everybody in India.
Sort of semi-anthropologist?
Yes, she is. She's a student. She's working on her PhD. So she takes a team of Indians out into the jungle, and they capture this last savage, and she brings him back. And
she's really the stable boy.
Who's really the stable boy, but he's sort of a Tarzan type. He's quite wonderful. And she's thrilled to bits, and she decides that she's not going to... The deal was that Kitty and Conanda agreed they would get married when she found her last savage, but she's changing the rules now. She says, I have to take him back to Vassar. I'm going to present him to society.
She goes to Vassar,
right? And Daddy owns a penthouse in Chicago. It's all Art Deco and 1960s style. It's fabulous.
The sets are beautiful, yes.
The sets are really exciting. So here she sings. She's brought him back, and she says, just look at him, just look at him. I've proved his existence. You must admit that finding him took courage and persistence. But don't come too near. Right now, I would advise you all to approach him with fear. At first I went unheeded, but at last I succeeded. I have brought him back alive. See that handsome body, those muscles, that torso as strong as a lion. The nails on his fingers could tear you asunder. His voice is like thunder. So all these funny rhyming couplets. Again, a bit of a parody of the earlier style of opera where this happened. And then finally she ends up saying, see how soft his eyes are, how sweet and confiding, that look so unfeeling. Who knows what it's hiding? So she carries on like this and gets into a wonderful cadenza where she takes off in a coloratura style, sings all those wonderful scales and embellishments. So I thought we could hear a little bit of Kitty's aria. By the way, Marichard, I should mention, this is very special, that normally you cannot play excerpts from an opera that's not out on CD and readily available. So I contacted the music publisher, Schott Music Company, who are bringing this in and who have the music and for whom I got a very special copy. And they gave me permission just for this show to be able to play some of this music. So I'm thrilled about that, and you can hear it.
And so we're going to hear Kitty's aria, Just Look at Him. But while that is playing, give us a call, 505-428-1393. Particularly if you like what you're hearing, get a pair of those tickets. Get the tickets in the book, or just get the book. Or just call and make a contribution, just by itself, for its own sake. 505-428-1393.
Mr.
So that's Kitty. Kitty's aria from The Last Savage by Giancarlo Monatti, and on this recording, it's sung by Ilse Holweg, but that recording is not yet available, I'm afraid. And Anna Christie will sing the role here. This is a young singer who would be perfect in this role. She's got this lovely, light coloratura voice, and Daniel Okuluc. It'll be a young cast, which I think will work well with some tried and tested, wonderful older singers in the parts of the fathers.
Well, is the stable boy going to be appropriately Tarzanish?
I would hope so. I imagine all of these gorgeous hunks in opera now seem to appear at some point, sort of undressed to the waist. It's become a new thing. I mean, it's really amazing.
It makes it just that much more fun.
Absolutely.
505-428-1393, 505-428-1393 is the number here at the KSFR Fun Drive. And if you like this show, even if you don't love opera, you're listening. And we get all the opera fans, especially during this series, obviously. But whether or not you're a tremendous fan of opera, give us a call right now and make a donation, 505-428-1393. And we're going to give you an opportunity right now because we're going to take a break and have a report from the control room and also hear from our beloved underwriters. And we're back with Desiree Mays, author of Opera Unveiled and a great international lecturer. You really go all over the world, Desiree, talking about opera.
I do, yes. It's as we speak, I'm just back from taking a group to Italy, to Milan and Torino, and then across through a wonderful drive through the Alps and Chamonix to Geneva to see an opera there. And we're planning Wagner Ring Cycles for the fall. I either go on my own just to do lectures, which I love, or I take groups for Act One tours, the tour director. And these people, I promise you, are absolutely spoiled on these trips. And we see incredible opera, stay in lovely in hotels, and eat in very good restaurants. So it's fun. But that's that keeps me out of mischief for most of the year. But I'm here for the summer. As you know, I speak every night at the opera, at the Preview Buffet. That's something people might like to do too. Come to the opera early. You can get your car parked. You have a lovely dinner al fresco out of doors with a stunning sunset with hummingbirds or sometimes terrible storms. That adds a little drama to my work. And then I come up with dessert and tell people about the opera they're going to see. Then you walk up the hill. It's all on the opera grounds, which are quite beautiful. And you arrive in the theater ready for the show. You know, we're all so rushed these days. We rush from work or whatever it is to go to a show, and not always in the right frame of mind. There's a sort of a gearing down you need to do. This is easy. Last Savage, you can rush in, sit down and do it. But if you're going to Griselda, it's nice to have that little calm space. I walk from the cantina where the dinner's up the hill, and I see hundreds of people gazing, mouth open, at the sunsets at that opera house before 9 o'clock, or 8:30, or this year, the last 2 weeks, the shows are starting at 8 o'clock.
So that's right, because the opera is it starts after sunset, and the sunset changes over the course
of the
summer.
Yeah, it's been great, and I think a lot of people will enjoy that because we keep early nights in this town, and the 8 o'clock curtain really helps for the last 2 weeks. You can get all of this on santafeopera.org. But that is after you have called KSFR with a donation and called 428-1393 and made a donation to this radio station, whether it's for Mary Charlotte, for opera, classical music, whatever music, for the BBC. Please call and make that donation now. It's the only way to keep this station alive. So many of the arts groups are going under. It is so sad that the New Mexico Symphony is not going to be able to survive. That's really a tragedy.
Yeah.
The Baltimore Opera failed last year, and this is the economy. And you know, Mary Charlotte, it's at the when things are bad in the rest of our lives, that's when we need the arts and when we need music and when we need radio. And I know people listen to this station by the hundreds of thousands, and they listen way beyond our borders because this radio station streams. So
We've got listeners all over the place.
Exactly. We should probably give that 800 number so people who are streaming as we speak can make a donation. It is
866-907-5737, 866-907-5737. Make a donation now, ladies and gentlemen, to KSFR and to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Now, I wanted to do this thing. What are the reasons why people should call right now? Well, obviously, there's the opera tickets and the book, Opera Unveiled. That's one good reason. Another reason is just exactly what you said. And it's not only the arts that are affected by the economy, but it's on public radio stations like KSFR that you can hear programs that actually explain why the economy is going bad in the first place and what the political forces are and what the shenanigans of these bankers are that basically turn the whole system inside out by recklessly betting with our money. All of that, you really don't hear the full story.
Also, it's very unbiased on this station. This is what I love about KSFR, whereas many of the commercial stations are owned by big business and corporations. So they do have an angle, and you can hear that if you listen closely. I do not find that that's true of KSFR. We do our best here to try to present both sides of the story.
Or the many sides of the story,
as you found out. Yes.
505-428-1393. And another reason is that there is no advertising and minimal underwriting. In an hour on this program, we have perhaps 3 minutes of underwriting from our beloved underwriters, most of whom are locally owned organizations, local organizations of one kind or another. And they support the program. And we hope that you, ladies and gentlemen, also support the program by calling right now. But the fact is that when you turn on KSFR, the chances are you're not going to hear advertising at the moment that you turn it on or underwriting. You're going to hear programming.
And that's great because when I talk with commercial stations, I know 15 to 20 minutes. I mean, I didn't believe this, but it's true. It's devoted to advertising, which is really terrible. So that's another thing I think to consider with this station.
505-428-1393. Now let's get back to The Last Savage because we've got more music. I don't think we're going to hear all the music.
I know. We'll do what we can. So the first act ends where she's going to take her Savage back to America. Now, this was not part of the deal for Abdul, who has been offered a lot of money to do this, but he thought it would all be over once he was discovered.
So she finds this phony Savage. Mm-hmm. Does she teach him English?
Oh, she teaches him everything. She teaches him how to eat with a knife and fork. She teaches him how to behave. And then she decides that she wants to go take it a step further, and she's going to give him a lesson in love. Now, he's not happy about this, but she takes him by the hand and she sits him down. In one scene, she teaches him how to kiss as the lights gently fade to black on the stage. So she's getting emotionally involved. But we've jumped ahead a little. What happened at the end of the first act? This is a two-act opera. She's made her stand. She's going to take him back to the States. The second act then is set in her father's gorgeous penthouse apartment in Chicago.
And so he's a Himalayan stable boy with a girlfriend, right, suddenly in an Art Deco Chicago
transported
penthouse.
Yes. It's that wonderful Crocodile Dundee sort of story. And he arrives in Chicago, and he's He's a little confused, and the opening scene is wonderful. I'm going to play a little of that. Kitty has decided she's going to throw a major party for the cognoscenti and the fashionable people of Chicago to show him off. And at this point, the section I'm going to play is where the tailors are fitting him. How do you dress a savage for a cocktail party in Chicago? So they have this wonderful debate. And as this is going on, Kitty is on the phone to all of her society friends, telling them they have to come and see her big find. So the tailors are discussing in this section how they're going to dress him. Abdul is standing still for the time being and says, "Stand still for a moment, 50 inches round his chest." They're very impressed. And Kitty's on the phone saying, "Now that he's becoming civilized, he's really a rather charming savage. No, he doesn't smell like one. He's innocent and childlike. Certain things he does not know." And then the tailors, "For a savage when he's dressed, sports attire would be the best. For a savage such as he, who is passing through Chicago, traveling clothes would be the best." So they go through this nonsense of how they're going to dress him, and she's on the phone to her friends, until finally Abdul has had enough. And he says, "This is ridiculous, I'm out of here," and the tailors are terrified at the savage, and they all run off, which is when Kitty takes him by the hand for the lesson in love. So maybe we can hear a little of this ridiculous, funny scene from the beginning of the second act of The Last Savage.
"Please stand still for just a minute. 50 inches.
Holy Mother, what a torso.
Now that he's becoming civilized, he is really a charming savage. No, he doesn't smell like one. He is innocent and childlike. Certain things he does not know.
For a savage when he's dressed, sports attire would be the best.
For a savage such as he, who is passing through Chicago, traveling clothes would be the best, it seems to me. I'll introduce him to society at cocktails Monday next. I'm inviting all Chicago artists, scientists, and clergy. Everybody will be here.
I can see the problem clearly. Though this fellow is abnormal, we should dress him quite severely. Cocktails, something dark and rather formal.
Yes, my darling, try to arrive Monday next at 5:30.
What kind of cloth? The finest in the world. The British.
Hello, not bad, and how are you? I'll expect you Monday next. I will show you something new.
A swell's like iron, and teeth like a lion.
No one has ever seen him.
Better be careful, we must not upset him.
No one else has been his teacher. He's a splendid creature.
The tailors of England can never be wrong.
Oh, goodbye, dear. See you soon. Yes, on Monday afternoon.
I've had enough. Oh, this is torture. You are crazy, stupid clothes. All this fuss about my costume. Oh, wait, leave me in peace.
What a wild man.
Out with you. That's a very human moment. I think we've all had that, where men especially hate to be dressed for parties. You know, they have this very low tolerance, and eventually they say, out, 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 leave it alone, I'll go in my jeans, or whatever it is.
And the part that we didn't hear was the lesson in love, but people can kind of imagine that.
What goes on.
Right, right. 428-1393, to make a donation to KSFR on this wonderful day, the first day of the KSFR Fun Drive this summer. Is it spring? It's still spring, officially.
June, yes.
Yes. 428-1393. Let's hear a quick report from the control room. All right, and we're back with Desiree Mays talking about The Last Savage. The Last Savage, the opera by Giancarlo Menotti. And gosh, we're not going to really have enough time to play all the musical selections that we had prepared. Mm-hmm. But just give us a rundown of the rest of the story. Because, of course, now we really want to know what happens.
Yes, exactly.
This,
yeah, what happens?
Phony savage.
And the cocktail party. And everybody comes. The religious people tell him what religion he should belong to. The philosophers, the teachers, the society ladies all invite him to parties. And again, it's another crazy scene of cacophony. But it's a send-up of a cocktail party. It really is. And finally,
parties are send-ups of cocktail parties.
Yes, exactly. And finally, Abdul, who's the noble savage, sees through it all, and he roars. He says, "Enough!" And he looks at Kitty. He and Kitty have been pretty close by this point, clearly. And he looks at her and he says, "If this is your idea of civilization, then I'm headed back to the jungle." And he takes off and goes back to India. So the final scene then is set in India, where everybody returns. Abdul has vanished. He's gone into the jungle. The two fathers are really upset, the Maharaja and Scattergood, because their wedding plans are not working out. And Kitty is frantic because Kitty has fallen in love with her last savage. And she's told the truth. She's told that the whole thing was a setup. He's not a true savage, that this was the stable boy. And she says, "It doesn't matter. I love him. And I'm going to stay and marry Abdul," which also sort of appalls everybody else. But that's the plan. And Abdul is captured again. He's brought back. He doesn't want the money. He's a noble man. He says, "No, I don't want to take any money for this." And Kitty says, "Just look at him. He's wonderful. And I'm going off to the jungle with him." And the last scene is quite wonderful. The two of them are in his jungle cave, sinking onto a mossy bank, when she looks over his shoulder and she's made a pre-arrangement with her dad, and there's people there, and she beckons to the people in the jungle, and they come on stage bringing a television set, a bathtub, toasters, all the symbols of Western civilization.
Which they're then, what, plugging into the tree? Well,
exactly, yeah, the irony of that. And then in our production, there's even another further funny scene at the end, which we are not going to reveal. Everybody has to go and see this.
All right,
it's fun. And the last piece of music then we should play from this is a lovely straight piece of music. It's a septet. Six people sing. Abdul is singing about how he actually loves, he's come to love Kitty. Kodanda is happy that he is not having to marry Kitty. Sardula is the servant girl who gets together with him in the end.
Yeah, she's the ex-girlfriend of Abdul,
as long as he was in the money. But now there's no money involved. She's going to marry the Maharaja's son. So she's on the make.
It's like Shakespeare. Everybody marries the right person at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Or some Shakespeare.
Yeah, and then the whole thing comes. It's a very Mozartian ending. Mozart's operas always end with a little moral. So at the end of this, they all of them sing, "Now at last we've found a moral, one which no one can deny. Wiser men, from king to peasant, only gamble on the present. What may happen by and by, only fools will prophesy."
How fortune waits in a hiding to surprise us. See this lovely, lovely creature, once my terrifying teacher. So superior, so above me, who'd predict that she would love me? Oh, see this lovely creature, see this lovely, lovely creature. So superior, so above me, and beginning from tomorrow, so superior, so above me, that she would love me, yes, that she would love me. Oh, how fortune waits in
Pity we had to cut that. We missed tomorrow.
We're almost out of time. 428-1393 is the number. We just want to close out this hour as best as we possibly can. Give us a call, 428-1393. Make a contribution to KSFR. So this was The Last Savage by Giancarlo Menotti, which opens at the Santa Fe Opera on Saturday, the 23rd of July, and there's six performances total. And Desiree, it's wonderful to have you here on the air.
It's been great fun.
Desiree Mays is an international lecturer on opera. She's the author of Opera Unveiled, which you can still get a copy of, 428-1393. And you can get a copy of this book for a contribution to KSFR. They will tell you all about it in the control room, 428-1393. Desiree, thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure. Let's do it again next week.
Yes, we will be next. What are we?
Next week, I think, is Wozzeck by Alban Berg.
Okay, good.
Now, there's a contrast. There's tragic tragedy. It'll be great.
Yes, indeed. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC. Stay tuned for local news. Stay tuned for jazz. Stay tuned for the rest of the KSFR Fun Drive.
And please call
428-1393. We're going to hear also a report from the control room how we have done this hour. 428-1393. Make a contribution to the Radio Cafe. Make a contribution to KSFR. And we're listening to the overture in the background to The Last Savage.
We are. And hopefully we can let it play out a bit. And okay. Then the rest of it you can hear when you go to the opera.
All right.